Hey, kids. Did you miss me?
Salutations and welcome. Just because I know it, the word welcome in no other language, maybe I ought to learn some other way to say it. A dankeschön to all of you. To POV, the final, as far as I know, best of volume 4. So that's uno, dos, tres, cuatro, volume cuatro. Yes, I've learned my international languages, my Spanish from Bono. And if you're learning anything from Bono, it's that the band U2 should not play anything on the Grammy Awards. Anyway, yeah, let's get on with the last of Volume 4, the part of whatever. You know, I said during the first one I wasn't going to say anything topical of any importance. If I've said anything of importance during the show, you need to really bring that to my attention, I think. It's because Mickey Rourke was asked... I guess before the election, this Obamamania election, was asked, you know, hey, who do you like for president? And he was like, well, I'll tell you this, I'm, you know, probably not voting for Obama because I'm a George Bush guy. I like George Bush. George W. Bush. Well, that shit don't go over. You know, you can't say that. And immediately people in Hollywood heard that, you know, I don't know where he was like fucking Hawaii or something. And their ears pricked up and they're like, Mickey Rourke just said he likes George W. Bush. Fuck him. And it doesn't matter that Mickey Rourke probably beat the hell out of all of them. He ought to win it anyway just because he's lost two dogs in like the same week or something, the same month. Loki, if you watch TMZ, you'll all know about this. TMZ, one of the greatest shows ever on television. Thank Allah for the intelligence and generosity of Harvey Levin for sharing this wonderful thing with us, or else we'd have to watch Entertainment Tonight and our brains would slowly melt. Because that's what happens when you watch Mary Hart. Your brain melts. Ugly Betty's coming back for its fifth season, and here's what happens. Ooh, I don't care. It's like 30 Rock. I don't find that show in the least damn bit amusing. And I know why. You know, it gets a lot of attention because people in Hollywood find it tremendously amusing. It's like that movie For Your Consideration. The reviews I heard of it were like, this is just the funniest damn movie that's ever been made. It lampoons Hollywood so effectively. And then I watch it, I'm like, what's so funny about it? I don't get it. I don't understand. And it may be why Spinal Tap is funny to musicians, rock musicians. They're like, yeah, I've been there. I've done that. That's fucking hilarious, man. Or A Mighty Wind might be hilarious to folk musicians, and I might not be quite as funny to me, but if you're Tommy and Dick Smothers, it's a laugh-damn riot. So, yeah, the politics of the Oscar. And if God's given out Oscars, then, ugh, no wonder the world's in trouble now. Obviously, you'd think he'd have better things to do, and he's omnipotent, of course, he can do anything. And everything at once. But I don't think he's busying himself with giving out Oscars. Selma Hayek. God did not give... Has she ever won an Oscar? I don't know. Marissa Tomei, I think, is up again this year. Down again next year. My Cousin Vinny, too, next year. And some people will be like, hooray, I love that movie. Have made them all sound like flaming whatever. Oh, McGlad is going to be all over my game. You're obviously anti-homosexual. Whatever. I know homosexuals and like them. I can tell you a few anti-homosexual people, but I won't. There's no point in naming them because you don't know them. If a gay person worked here, would you shun them? Oh, hell yeah. Well, that seems wrong, but okay, whatever. And I explain my thoughts on the whole gay thing and whatever, and religion, and so much more in this Best of POV Volume 4. Now that rhymed, bitch. Take it away, David W. Torrance. Let's go.
We interrupt this program to annoy you and make things generally irritating.
Here's an amazing act. Here's a tremendous act. Here's a startling act. The amazing, the thrilling, the greatest, spectacular, incredible, exciting, wonderful, world fame, most unusual, novelty act.
Will you join me?
Why, are you coming apart?
Greetings and salutations.
Greetings and salutations, indeed. And welcome to the latest episode of POV, Point of View to You and Me. Me be, as always, David W. Torrance. Very glad to have you along. Bit under the weather today. I don't know. I'll make it through the show, you know. I know last week I had a toothache. This week I have stomach problems. And frankly, what a difference a week makes overall. Last week we were still recovering from the snow. This week it's like spring outside. I believe the high today is supposed to be 80 degrees. Degrees? Well, that's what it is on Mars. 80 degrees. It's degrees here on Earth. You know, 98 degrees with Nick Lachey, or whatever that bastard's name is. Or was, I don't know what band he was in. Who cares? Anyway, we've got a lot of stuff coming up on the show today. The one-armed man, the one-armed bandit, whatever, in the Harrison Ford version of The Fugitive. And Andreas Katsalas is a name that you might not recognize, but to see the face, you would know exactly who I'm talking about. I think, I want to say that that guy was the one that went to science fiction conventions. But, and we'll talk more about science fiction a little bit later on in the show. But he wouldn't do autographs. Isn't that kind of strange? Why bother showing up? Because most of these guys are like,
oh, I loved you playing. I loved you as Jakar in episode 102. You were brilliant, man. You were just great. Why didn't you come back in episode 313? I thought that you would have been perfect in that.
That maybe, who knows? Maybe that's why he didn't do autographs. But, isn't that a strange custom, though? Autographs? Isn't that kind of, where the hell did that start exactly? That you go up to somebody randomly famous and go, I'd like you to write something on this piece of paper for me. What did that, that's kind of odd. I always wonder where that little custom began. Because it's kind of damn strange what you think about it. I mean, I know if I met Paul McCartney, I'd probably ask for a guitar pick first. Although either one would be damn hard to authenticate, I would imagine. You know, go up to your friends and say, hey, I got this guitar pick from Paul McCartney. Yeah, right. Hey, I got this autograph. It's Paul McCartney's. Yeah, right. So either way, that seems kind of... That's just odd to me, but... being at a science fiction convention, not doing autographs, and just asking for autographs anyway, because, you know, William Shatner hands them out like candy. Now, I myself have only ever asked for one autograph. Only one, or, well, twice, with the same person. There's a gentleman named Carl Bartholomew, who is considered a legend in Tulsa television programming, who once played a guy called Uncle Zeb on a local children's show here on KTUL Channel 8 in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And if you're of my age, a little bit older, maybe a little bit younger, you grew up with him. You just grew up with this guy on TV, and he was great at it, very curmudgeonly. He was wonderful. Then later went on to do promotional stuff for Channel 8. Brilliant promotions guy. Came up with just incredible ideas that they're still to this day trying to better, and they never have. And got his autograph, and I was like 5 years old at the mall. He was doing a personal appearance there. And then about 6 or 7 months ago, he showed up at a library about, I don't know, an hour away from here, And by damn, I took off work to go see him. He was talking about writing at the library, a little library symposium they had on writing. And they somehow got him to do, I think his wife somehow involved with that library. Got him to come there and do that. And I had a picture already. That's the only reason I came here. He was very entertaining, wildly entertaining. And of course, his catchphrase, Uncle Zeb, was, I'll be seeing you. Which seems kind of dumb, but to people my age, it's like, yeah, that's like the holy mantra. And at the end of the whole thing, he said, and one more thing, I'll be seeing you. And I was like, yes, that's great. Oh, that's the coolest ever. So, yeah, I'm real easy to please, just ask my wife. Anyway, so at the end of it, I took this thing up, and he dutifully autographed it for me. I explained, you know, I got it once, lost it, so, you know, it mean a lot, and he was just a great guy. Of course, the postscript to that story is it was eventually, not very long ago, ruined and destroyed. So should I go for a third strike? I don't know.
What the hell is that guy singing about anyway?
And we kick off the inaugural What the Hell's That Guy Singing About Anyway with a classic from the disco era called Into the Night.
She's just 16.
Okay, cut it right here, cut it. Okay, our first problem with this song. Let's take a look at those lyrics. She's just 16 years old. You know, I would be willing to bet the guy singing this is, let's say, around 30 or so. So that's your first problem. She's 16 years old. Even he admits she's just 16 years old. But people are telling him, leave her alone! There's probably a good reason for that, because you're probably one of them preverts. One of them 30-year-olds trawling for 16-year-olds. If people are telling you, leave her alone, there's probably a good reason for that. Okay, let's go on to the next part of the song.
Separated by fools who don't know what love is yet.
Okay, cut it. Okay, yeah, this sounds like a typical prevert tactic. Separated by fools who don't know what... They're all fools telling you you don't... I should leave you alone. They're fools. They don't even know what love is yet. You and I, we do, however. You know, she's just 16 fucking years old. She don't... you know, I'm not impinging upon you 16-year-olds that may be listening out there, but, you know, anyway. This is... Leave her alone. They don't know. They don't know. They say leave you alone. They don't even know what love is. Fools. Criminy. Okay, and if you thought that part of the song was kind of creepy, wait till you hit the chorus. The next part is 10 times creepier.
But I want you to know if I could fly, I'd pick you up, I'd take you into the night, and show you love like you've never seen.
Good God. Okay, yeah, this is pretty weird. If I could fly, I'd pick you up and take you into the night. This is like a bad Universal horror film from the 30s. He could fly, and he picked her up and took her into the night, starring Bela Lugosi. Who the fuck does this guy think he is? Hawkman? Batman? Dracula? He's going to pick her up and take her. Now, that should run her off right there. That should freak her completely out.
Well, this guy wanted to pick me up and fly me off somewhere. I mean, literally fly me. He was a fucking weirdo, man.
And then he goes a step beyond. I mean, it's been too much already, but it just gets ridiculous by this point. And he's going to show you a love like you've never seen. Well, she ain't seen one in the first place. But I think he's talking about something else. It's a typical male thing. You know, ladies, I'm going to show you a love like you haven't seen one like this. You're right. You perv. Oh, God. This is getting slimier by the minute. Okay, let's skip ahead in the song about half of a verse to the next... that would be called the middle of the next verse, I think. Yeah, let's go ahead.
And I would wait till the
got it. That, yeah, okay. Let's start off with the first part of that little love sonnet there. What the hell is he singing about? I would wait to the end of time and do it again. It's true! Like, he's got to convince her. Only a frickin' kid would believe that crap. That's the oxymoron of this song. I would wait till the end of time for you and then do it again. Well, that's actually theoretically impossible. I mean, even frickin' Bread with the song "If" figured that crap out when you fly off the planet. Well, you ain't redoing it again. And then he gets to the coup de grace of the tune. I can't measure my love. There's nothing to compare it to. It's so humongous. They don't make rulers that big. Baby, that's right. Yeah, shrimp, that's about right. Yeah. Yeah, you know that's what's going on. He wouldn't be able to feed this crap to a, you know, a woman. He's got to peddle it off on a 16-year-old that's going to believe Hawkman's going to fly her into the night. And it keeps going on like that. And it's amazing that, you know, I'm sure the guy who sang this, Benny Mardones, he probably thought, "Dad, I gotta record this, man. This is a great love song for the 70s. But, you know, as we all have found out, disco people were rather strange. So there's your inaugural edition there of the one and the only...
What the hell is that guy singing about anyway?
And some talk about that there lesbian, Rosie O'Donnell. Not that I got nothing against the women and the women now.
Here we go. Here's what I don't like about Rosie O'Donnell. I don't like a lot of stuff about Rosie O'Donnell. But you've got your two big lesbian figures in the culture. You got your Rosie O'Donnell, you got your Ellen. Okay. They both went about their lesbianism in two opposite ways. Rosie O'Donnell let everybody talk about it for a while and suggest that she was gay and whatever. And then she came out. And then she kept on coming out. And everything she does is gay. If she eats a sandwich, it's a gay sandwich. If she goes on a cruise, it's a gay cruise. If she takes a crap, it's a gay crap. You know, we get the point. You like the women. Fine. Ellen DeGeneres just went the opposite direction. She made a big splash at the beginning about it and now says not a damn thing about it. It's just, you know, she's just gay. That's like, well, she's Catholic. You know, it's just one of them things. I like pickles on my sandwich. You know, you don't talk about it. You don't proclaim it every 5 seconds you like pickles in your sandwich. That's just your life, you know? Okay, fine. And I think that's why Ellen has been kind of embraced as the talk show host of the 90s or whatever she was. So anyway, without further ado, on tape, I am bringing you now, as after I push the start button, the POV interview, the very first one, with the one and only Mr. Tom Cruise. Take it away, Tom Cruise. All right, first of all, Tom, I just really want to say I appreciate you willing to come on to POV and talk to us today.
Thank you.
Well, no, thank you. Now, first of all, let's just get this out of the way right at the beginning here. Tom, tell us a little bit about Scientology, because we always hear so much about you and Scientology. What is the religion of Scientology really like?
It's crazy.
Pardon me? What?
It's crazy, yeah.
Okay, well, you know, there's a lot of controversy, too, about L. Ron Hubbard, who originated Scientology with all the Dianetics and stuff like that. You know, I know as over time you find out more about Scientology and L. Ron Hubbard. If you had to describe L. Ron, the late L. Ron Hubbard, to somebody, how would you describe him?
Unsavory character. Not the kind of guy you want to go and hang out with. It's crazy, yeah.
All right. well, I don't want to broach another touchy subject, but I have to ask this. A lot of people, there have been a lot of insinuations in magazines, on TV shows, you know, comedy shows and whatever, that you're gay. But, I mean, you've had a kid, so obviously you are not a homosexual, not that there's anything wrong with that. So what I'm kind of curious is, how would you describe sex with Katie, or I'm sorry, Kate?
You know what it's like? It's exciting and kind of surreal because all of a sudden it's happening and suddenly there's going to be this other person and it's. I found myself wanting to relish every minute of it.
So how was the process of actually, I guess, impregnating Katie?
It happened very quickly. Mm-hmm.
Now, what made you and Kate
choose Scientology as your personal faith, your personal religion. I understand it had something to do with just reading the book Dianetics.
We sat down. A friend of ours, couple gave us the book, and we just sat down the floor one night and kind of leafed through it. And after about 2 minutes, I don't know, it just sounded right.
I don't know. That doesn't seem a very wise criteria for picking your family's religion.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Okay, wait. I'm just a little confused. It almost seems like you think the Scientology is just as nuts as everybody else does.
Yeah.
So, okay, let me get this straight. Scientology is basically some crazy-ass shit.
Yeah.
You are not gay.
Yeah.
And you and Katie are having a, well, in time to come, after she recovers from the baby, you guys are having a healthy sexual appetite, I guess.
You're now at the stage where you're measuring everything. You know what I mean?
Oh, do I ever. I have been there, my friend. So, you know, what else can you tell us about this relationship?
You know what? I love it. We have a thing. It's B&B, you know? She does the breast, you know?
Yeah, okay. That's a little more than I possibly needed to know right now. Now, there's a rumor I'd just like to clear up, you know, real quick if we can. I have heard the story that apparently, or supposedly anyway, you give either half or more than half of what you make off one of your films to the Church of Scientology.
That is true.
Well, that sounds like some absolutely insane-ass shit.
All of it.
Okay, well, let's move on then to other Hollywood kind of things. I understand, you know, since John Travolta and Isaac Hayes, Jason Lee, are you friends with those fellow Scientologists? And if so, what do you guys do together?
I taught them how to ride motorcycles and rock climb, and they rode around, and I'd run and chase them around, and it was hilarious.
Well, I mean, now wait a minute. What the hell do these big stars think about you teaching them how to do all this stuff?
They love it.
Okay, so you're teaching them how to ride motorcycles. What else are you doing with these big Hollywood icons?
Of course, they have soccer and baseball. We do all that stuff.
I mean, this sounds fucking insane. I mean, these guys can't be pleased that you're treating them like your children.
You know, they're so cool about it that everybody becomes chill.
Okay, to start kind of winding this thing up, I'm curious if the rest of your family, not talking about you and Kate and the children, does the rest of your family go to a Scientology church?
Not voluntarily.
So they don't go voluntarily. Well, how do they react to being dragged to the Church of Scientology?
They just show up, right. But they're actually very polite.
All right, a real quick couple of final questions here. I'm just going to lay it down on the table here for you, Tom. Your religion claims that some big intergalactic hoodoo named Xenu showed people bad movies, imprisoned them, sent them to Earth 75,000 years ago, showed them bad movies, something happened to him, and now he... I mean, yeah, this is what I'm saying. It's some absolutely insane shit, don't you think? I mean, showing people bad movies and capture their body thetans and electronic ribbons, and you gotta go on the... Yeah, it's crazy. How do you put up with this? This is absolutely insane, don't you? I mean, people think you're nuts. I mean, let's lay our cards on the table here. People think you're fucking insane.
I tell you, thank you for asking. I tell you, it's crazy. Yeah.
Okay, so you're admitting it right here on POV to the nation, or at least our audience anyway, that you, Tom Cruise, are absolutely nuts.
Yes.
Well, I mean, okay, I appreciate you being upfront about it. Unfortunately, we're going to have to go ahead and end the interview. My wife needs me here in the other room.
Yeah, she's a beauty.
Excuse me? Okay, anyway, I think that's all we really have to ask you tonight.
How's Harry doing?
Excuse me, I don't know. I don't know anybody named Harry.
It's crazy.
Yeah, I think we've gotten that impression by this point. Well, I thank you very much, Tom Cruise, for appearing right here on POV.
Thank you.
You are so, so welcome. James Spader was a star of some great 80s films. You're Pretty in Pink, for instance. Your Tough Turf. Quite an immortal classic. Sometimes take a chance and go back and view Pretty in Pink. Pretty in Brink? Yeah, that too. And then, back to back, watch some Boston Legal, and you will notice something. And I can't explain this. I can't account for it. But James Spader's head has grown. I don't know about the rest of him. Don't care. But his head has gotten progressively bigger. Growing
larger than you would account for normally. Larger than the body should, I would think. And I think this may be something that just goes, it's kind of akin with being an 80s star or something, because Kiefer Sutherland, he's the same way. His head is fucking huge, man. Not as big as James Spader's. And I'm not talking like, you know, Tom Cruise, he's got a big head. He just thinks he's... No, I mean literally a big damn head. I don't know. Don't get it. Don't want to. But what kind of... It must have been disheartening to the members of Led Zepp. They announced this reunion, which people have been bitching and moaning and crying like babies for years. Then all of a sudden you get these dickhead bloggers on the internet. They're, one of them in particular was like, well,
when you go to see Led Zeppelin, try not to remember when you hear rock and roll that it was a Cadillac commercial. Try not to think of Cadillac when you hear rock and roll. The inference being they sold out. They did that. But giving rock and roll a classic Led Zeppelin 4 song to Cadillac for a commercial.
You know, you fuckheads don't know the way things work. And I'm not speaking to you, my audience. I'm talking about those fuckheads. You clearly don't know how things work in the music business. It's kind of like the same damn people that are like, well, we need to get out of Iraq right now. I mean, this moment. Take our soldiers and get the hell out of there, man. You can't do that shit, because it'll be mass fucking slaughter. And if you don't care about mass fucking slaughter, then get them out of there right now. But if you don't remember a little thing like when we got the hell out of Vietnam, and how many damn people did they slaughter after we left, it's going to be the same damn thing. So we can't get out of there. We got to finish the damn thing now. But it's, I mean, it's the same kind of thing as that. In the music business, a band may own the copyrights to their music, but they do not own. Odds are they do not own the actual recordings. Generally, the record company is the one that actually owns, you know, the recordings themselves. And, you know, they can lease that shit out to anybody they want to. Now, here's why you so often hear remakes of these songs. You know, like All You Need Is Love's. Criminy. That's just because Sony Music, or whoever the hell owns it now, was like, yeah, we're happy to give it to Love's Diapers. You know, equate baby shit with a Beatles classic. That's what we all want to do. And, you know, what the hell can Paul McCartney do about it? Not a damn thing. Because he don't own that shit no more. Yeah, well, that may be another story in the next couple of years, but I digress. But what I think Led Zeppelin wisely did was they went, look, you know, we can either have somebody else re-record the song, I guess, screw that up, or, you know, we can give them our own music, have some sort of control over it, and there's some exposure for them right there. Rock and roll on the damn TV every 5 minutes. And Robert Plant may have got a free Cadillac out of it, who knows. But to sit there and go, well, you know, don't try to think of Cadillac when you hear Led Zeppelin playing, oh, fuck off. Led Zeppelin are one of the few damn bands ever that have always been honest with their audience and had integrity. Which showed loud and clear in this show at the Q2. So yeah, seek that out, not at your peril. Just seek it out, it's cool.
What should have creeped everybody out is Sangina's hair thing. You know, he put his hair up into a mohawk-looking thing with bobby pins and tape and glue and whatever else. I don't know. I don't get it. And I know some of you out there don't actually get to see American Idol. They rely on David W. Torrance to know what's going on with American Idol. So, if you're wondering, what the hell's so bad about that Sangina kid? Well, I'm going to play you a little clip of Sangina's song from this week and let you be the judge of what the hell is so wrong with Sangina.
What the fuck? Excuse me, but I'll have to say it again. What the fuck was that all about? Of course, this week was Gwen Stacy. Oh, no, that's Peter Parker's girlfriend. Gwen Stefani week on Idol, and they got to sing whatever songs they wanted to at first, and the artist that influenced her. Lakeisha, our big favorite on the show, I thought she'd smash Last Dance, but she didn't really do it very well. I mean, she's good as usual, but that little Melinda did much better with Heaven Knows, though. I don't know what the deal is. But that's Sangina for you singing a song called Bathwater, which I'm told is a Gwen Stefani song, which ever since she left No Doubt, she sucked out the ass too with all these, hey, banana boat, banana boat, banana boat songs. Hey, girlfriend, with your watermelon. I don't know what the hell she's singing about. I don't care. Maybe it ain't music meant for me, but I think it sucks. I want to talk real quick. I want to do a little bit of a rant about forbidden words. What do I mean about forbidden words? Well, there's one particular word that is verboten. And you know what it is? It is the N word. And I only bring this up because I hear it all the damn time, used all the time. And I have to stop to think, you know, if Lenny Bruce were alive today, he'd never go anywhere. He would never make it. He would be like the Michael Richards of comedy. Even though back in his day, he was just pushing the envelope for certain reasons, not just to push the envelope. Now, my problem with the N-word is this. White folk, us white folk, cannot use that word. But it's the only racial epithet I can think of in who is allowed to use it. It's guided along racial lines. But to me, if something, for instance, and maybe to you too, I hope so. Say, for instance, if something is okay for whites, okay for you white folk to do, but it's forbidden for blacks to do it, well, that is racist. Racist? That's racist, man. And I'm going to wave the rebel flag now. It's racist if it's okay for whites to do it, but blah, blah, don't you black folk do it. And don't even dare, as I hit the table, don't even dare start with me. I mean, you know, well, he sounds kind of racist. He's talking about that N-word and saying that black folk can't do what they want to do. I don't care what you do. But don't say you cannot use a word. I don't have any intent of using the N-word. I mean, what's the point? But don't tell me you can't say a word, but I can use it if I want to, because we're trying to take the sting out of it. No, you're not. You just can't think of any other words. Now, you know, here at POV, we like to help. And we want to help, and we hope you join us. We're starting something called POV Gives Back. What are we giving back? Well, I'd like you to join me in this. From now on, every white person that I see that, you know, I'm acquainted with, I will greet them with a hearty cry of, "Hey, whitey!" Or something along the lines of, "Hey, honky!" Something like that. "Hey, white folk!" Because if I was called honky, I would personally find that kind of offensive. Not really super, but we're taking the word back. Honky is going to be a word that we use in pride. I am a honky, a white honky. Thank God George Jefferson's still alive, don't you think? And I think this whole thing really started the other night when I saw a black comedian on TV. And just basically, white people are stupid. Dumbass white people in America, you dumb bunch of motherfucking white people. If you got on there and said, you damn dumbass, you know, whatever race, other than white folk, you'd get your ass thrown off TV. That would be cut out. Why the hell is it that someone can come on TV and be just as, well, that, you don't get it, man. You obviously don't get it. He's just trying to be funny, man. Bull fucking shit. I'm tired of this crap. I mean, that's just ignorant. Don't be ignorant. I think it all comes down to that. Don't be ignorant. Alrighty. Let's go through our notes here. See what we've got left. Oh, we'll get into the lesbian thing very last. I want to offend everybody in this show. I was at the grocery store. Ding! There's another one. I was at the grocery store yesterday. picking up some groceries, as you tend to do at the grocery store. And on a vending machine, I happen to notice something I've not seen for years. A chick tract from Chick Publications. You don't know what a chick tract is? Star tract! A chick tract is one of these gospel publications, supposedly Christian in nature, that is published in kind of a comic booky little form. It's a little pamphlet kind of a thingy. Has about, maybe 20 pages to it. And has a moralistic story to it told in comic booky kind of form. That was done back in like 1968. The problem with these are they're so moralistic, so ridiculous, so... I mean, morals, fine. Being a Christian, fine. But don't blow it up and push it in people's face like this in such a ludicrous and ridiculous manner as these things do. I'm sure you've probably picked them up in a grocery store and went, what the hell? They kind of border on the offensive. They are so zealous. I don't got nothing against the Christ. Got nothing against the dude whatsoever. But they kind of act like, if you don't know he's the Son of God, there's plenty of people that don't know that. Well, who don't know Jesus is the Son of God? No, knowing it and believing it, I guess, is two different things. I mean, there's James Cameron that discovered the tomb of Jesus. Yeah, right, whatever. You dork. And he knows he didn't. And, it makes for a great argument either way, I guess. But I just found this incredible. They still put these silly things out. So, in tribute to the Chick Tracts, very difficult to say, by the way, we've come up with a new segment here on POV. And it's called the Chick Tract Playhouse Theater. Take it away, Playhouse Players.
Chick Tract Playhouse Theater.
This week we join a major American university for the thrilling tract Big Daddy.
How many of you believe in evolution? All right. Anyone disagree?
I do, sir.
You can get out of my class. After you've apologized to everyone for your rudeness and ignorance, we might let you back in. On second thought, perhaps I was a bit hasty. I think I will systematically tear your little beliefs to shreds in front of the entire class.
Thank you, sir.
Sit down. What makes you think evolution is true?
Because the Bible says that each kind...
Hold it, you fanatic. I could have you jailed for that. How dare you even mention the word Bible in this school? You know it's unscientific. If you talk to me, it will only be in scientific terms. Do you understand? Young man, the evidence is overwhelming. All of the schools teach it. It's accepted everywhere. DNA proves it. Science proves it. Carbon-14 proves it. Facts. 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 Huxley, G. Gaylord, Simpson, Homer, Darwin, even National Geographic and Time magazines know it.
Are there not six basic concepts of evolution?
Yes.
Well, the last one has been observed and can be called science. The first five are believed by faith.
I don't like your attitude. Let's discuss prehistoric man. Here's the first and most famous clue to early man, the Neanderthal skullcap. Modern dating methods show man to be older than even Darwin could have imagined. Lucy, the oldest known ancestor of humans, is 2.9 million years old.
Only 2.9 million? Richard Leakey found a normal human skull under a layer of rock dated at 212 million years. I'm sorry, sir. Most experts don't agree.
Will you sit down?
Yes, sir.
Pieced together by fragmentary fossil evidence, science can show the stages of man's long march from ape-like ancestors to sapiens, with wonderful names like Proconsul Astrohabilocus Afrenesis to Homo habilis to Homo erectus and on to modern man.
Sir, I have in my possession a similar chart showing some amazing findings rarely made public.
Yes, this should be interesting. Yes, let's see it. Science always has the answers.
Now we are looking at details of The Collapse of Evolution by Scott M. Hughes, also available from Chick Publications. Now, back to the science room.
He's killing me. I've got to play it cool. All these layers of Earth are millions of years and different in age. We can tell the age of these layers from the fossils they contain.
But, sir, how do you date the fossils?
That's a good question. We can tell the age of the fossils since we know the age of the layers of rock where they were found.
Sir, isn't that circular reasoning? How can you say the layers are different ages? Petrified trees are often found going through many of the layers. Ernest Haeckel made up drawings in 1869 of evolution, and they were proven to be wrong in 1874. The folds of skin shown are not gills. They grow into bones in the ear and glands in the throat. Sir, what is the binding force of the atom?
It's gluons! Gotcha!
Wrong, sir. Gluons are made-up dreams. No one has seen or even measured them. They don't exist. It's a desperate theory to explain away truth. We know that the electrons of the atom whirl around the nucleus billions of times every millionth of a second. But protons have positive charges. One law of electricity is light charges repel each other. Since all the protons in the nucleus are positively charged, they should repel each other and scatter into space. If gluons aren't the answer, what is?
I don't know.
I'm sorry, sir, but I can't hear you.
I said I don't know. You tell me.
Sir, may I quote from the Bible?
Yes.
It says that Christ, the Creator, is before all things. All things were made by Him.
Are you saying He's the Creator?
Yes.
They'll understand why I'm quitting. They're intelligent, logical, compassionate scholars. Everything will be all right. I'll simply tell them I can't teach it any longer. I'm sorry, gentlemen, but I can no longer teach evolution. It can't possibly be true.
What? Are you crazy? Get out of our university. After you've apologized to everyone for your rudeness and ignorance, we might let you back in.
Then man killed the Creator if Jesus is God in the flesh.
Right. Then we didn't evolve. The system has been feeding us the big lie. We really do have a soul.
There you go. That's Chick Tracked Playhouse Theater, named such because we couldn't really decide if it sounded better to have Chick Tracked Theater or Chick Tracked Playhouse, so we just combined both of them. There you go, and thank you very much, those Chick Tracked Playhouse Theater players. They're damn dandy, don't you think?
Yes, friends, neighbors, and fellow denizens. Finally, the end of these best of farragos here at POV. I often use words that I'm not entirely sure of their meaning, yet it, as far as I know, it sounds damn good. David W. Torrance here, talking quickly over the end credits. Well, no, we're just not going to have the end credits on this. We'll mix that out. We'll have them eventually. I don't know, whatever. Anyway, at the end of this episode, just wanted to talk to you, the listener, just one-on-one for a moment. And that's the great thing about podcasts. Generally, you're just talking to one person. In broadcast school, they teach you that, really, you talk to one person, even though, really, you're talking to tons of people. I tended to ignore that and went for the tons of people treatment, because that's, you know, if you've got any kind of ego, you got to think you're talking to tons of people, when in reality, you may only be talking to, you know, four or five in the city you're in, depending upon its size and your station's relative popularity. POV has been relatively popular, and that's all due to you, people that, you know, I've done the show in a damn year, and people are like, are you going to do it again? That's what I ask every night. Are you going to do it again? And the answer is usually no. But anyway, we've been doing the show on and off since 2001. Of course, it's, you know, right now as I do this, 2009. Heck, I don't know, you may be downloading this in 2025. What the hell do I know on the super world web that's implanted in your brain or some weird science fiction crap like that? But honestly, and those of you who follow the show know the circumstances basically of why, in a way, the show has been kind of hit or miss. It's been kind of hit or miss the whole time, kind of a sporadic for the last couple of years. And I've had a good time listening back to the old shows. Matter of fact, I had always thought that episode 2.2 was just a basic Christmas greeting and that was it. And I was stunned to discover that it's actually full of weird Christmas music. I did not remember even doing that episode. And I'd be listening to it at Christmas, maybe. Hell no, I didn't even know it was there. But after some due consideration, and I'll tell you honestly, I used to be a uber creative person. I had to be creative all the time. And to be honest, it kind of seems like that part of me kind of has died to a certain extent, you know, after the events of the last couple of years. And I still like to be creative, but I found myself going, you know, I need to do a POV. That needs to get done. Kind of like I need to wash the dishes. Not like it used to be, as if I really want to do a POV. Can't wait. I would love to talk about that. I'd love to do that. And I've realized it's not fair to you who are waiting for a new show or whatever. So, I think you see what I'm about to say here. Get out your hankies. I know you have them ready. But, yeah, this is basically the end of POV. We're going to just call an end to the show, finally, with the best ofs. And it's kind of been my plan for a while, but I just haven't been able to get around to putting together the best ofs. Because I didn't think, God, it's going to be plowing through all this stuff. And part of it, too, was actually scraping up some of the shows from disparate sources. Finally got them all. That's cool. So, yeah, I've decided let's just bring POV to an end now, finally. So this is, in effect, the last episode of POV. The last, you'll hear David W. Torrance talk about POV on Pod-O-Matic. And I want to thank you, my listeners, for this whole really awesomely cool experience we've had over the last several years. There's a lot of them that do shows now. And you got Anthony from Paris, who I think started out life as Anthony in Paris, and somehow became Anthony from Paris, even though I'm still not sure that he's really from, you know, per se, Paris. He's there, but yeah, anyway, whatever. We know JR is, in fact, in Texas. That's, you know, without a doubt. We know that. Same chick somewhere out there. Hola to you, same chick. I don't know. Her show just kind of ended with a, I don't know what happened, but she's out there on the internet. I know that for a fact. And to all the rest of you, locally, I'd like to give a big shout-out to one Mr. Jason Gonzalez at here in Muskogee County. I'm not really in Muskogee County right now, but I'm moving back there, so whatever. Now the library can come try to chase me for whatever, I don't know. I just get this vision of a huge building coming after me. It's like some Pee-wee's Big Adventure type thing. Always been a big booster of the show. And I've always appreciated that to me and boosting it to other people, saying, you know, you ought to hear this crappy podcast this guy actually has the nerve to put on. and thank my family, too. I don't think they've been one damn bit amused by the show over the years, but heck, I have been, so that's helped. And that's about it. That's just about it. Will you ever hear my golden tones again on the Pod-O-Matic? On podcasts. Well, I do that to the microphones. You know, if I come up with something cool, I would hope that I could pitch it to some of my friends out there on the internet, and they might go, yeah, cool, yeah, put it on my show. That'd be great. You know, we'd love to have you on my show, and that would be cool. As far as doing a full-time podcast again, that ain't going to happen, obviously, or else I'd keep on doing POV. And if we do anything special, it won't be under the POV umbrella. It'll be just a separate, completely other thing that I'll come up with. Don't really see that happening, but you never know. And if you do want that, you know, let me know. And I don't know. We'll just kind of have to see what happens. Like Will Chamberlain once said, we'll just have to wait and see what comes up. I don't know. No idea. Anyway, so with all that in mind, again, thank you for listening to POV all this time, and I appreciate your continued patience and continued support. Oh, and yeah, again, thanks to those folks at Pod-O-Matic. They've been a great help, too. Anyway, David W. Torrance saying, for the final time, if it wasn't for you, it just wouldn't be for me. Which kind of seems kind of empty now, because you may be saying, yeah, it's for me, but it's not for you anymore. So, just scratched all that. get that. It doesn't mean anything now. And, I kind of don't want to give it up after all this time. You know, it's kind of hard to finalize everything, but that's kind of the best thing, I think, anyway. And for the last time, good night, God bless, and ciao for now. From the big chair here at POV Central, boarding up shop for the final time, but not necessarily retiring the microphone. Keep that in mind. David W. Torrance saying thank you so much sincerely for listening to POV, and thank you for coming along for the ride. Have a good time, and we'll see you later. Thanks for listening.
One day, I shall come back. Yes, I shall come back. Until then, there must be no regrets, no tears, no anxieties. Just go forward in all your beliefs and prove to me that I am not mistaken in mine.